seat.
I want you just to do a few exercises with me. You ever done physical exercise? Right. You ready? Arms forward. Come on. Boys and girls, arms forward. Right. What's wrong with you this morning? Can you not hear? Come on. Let's all do it, all the boys and girls. Put your arms forward, just like me. I'm doing it. I wonder what you'd do if I asked you to sing choruses and do the actions. Well, could you fold your arms, do you think? That's better. Just fold your arms. That'll do as well. Now, I've got 10p here. 10p is not an awful lot of money, but still it would buy you something, wouldn't it? I'm going to tell a very short story. If you can tell me the text of Scripture that I'm thinking about, the first boy or girl that can tell me that, then you will get the 10p. So the first boy or girl that puts up his or her hand when I've told my story, and you can put a verse of Scripture to it, then the 10p will be yours. Well, boys and girls, I want to tell you this story. It's about a city teacher. And this city teacher, she got a job in a country school. Do you know, boys and girls, when they come from the city, they think they know it all. They really don't. But anyway, she got this job in the country school. And one day she was having arithmetic. And she was having arithmetic in the class. And she said to the class, if there were 10 sheep in a field and 2 got out, how many would be left? Johnny put up his hand. He said, none, miss. She said, Johnny, you do not know your arithmetic. She said, if there were 10 sheep in a field and 2 got out, how many would be left? Johnny said, none, miss. Johnny, you don't know your arithmetic. Ah, miss, he says, you don't know sheep. Do you know how true that is, boys and girls? Because once one sheep would get out, the rest would follow. Now, what verse of Scripture would that make you think of? Any boy or girl know? Anybody know? You must know. Somebody must know. Yes, dear, come on. That's right. Come on ahead and get your pen. Yes, boys and girls, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And how true that is, boys and girls. All of us, every one of us. The Bible says we're born in sin and shapen in iniquity. The Bible tells us that our sins separate us from God. And it's very true that all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. But then the great thing is the end of the verse that says, the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity over us all.
What does that mean, boys?
It just means this. It just means that the Lord Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross
to save you.
It means that Jesus died for your sin and for my sin. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to our own way, but the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And so, boys and girls, I do trust that you will come to the Lord Jesus Christ if you haven't already come. Realize that you're a sinner in God's sight, and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come in to your heart. The chorus says, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And if we ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come in, he will come in. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we had asked thee to bless every boy and girl that's gathered with us this morning. And oh God, help them to realize that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary to save them. Help them to realize that God so loved them that he gave his only begotten Son to die on Calvary's cross to redeem them. So Lord, we pray that you'll bless the children. We thank thee for the opportunity to tell them the stories of the Lord Jesus Christ and of his great love. So God, we pray that you'll bless every boy and every girl that's gathered with us this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Through the book of Numbers. The book of Numbers. And we're going to read from chapter 10, please. Chapter 10 of Numbers, and we're going to read from verse 1 to verse 10. I'd like you just to keep your Bible open after the scripture reading, because I propose to refer to a number of these verses in the proclamation of God's word this morning. Numbers chapter 10, verses 1 to 10. I want to preach this morning on the silver trumpets, or, if you like, the gospel of God. The silver trumpets are the gospel of God. Numbers chapter 10, beginning to read at verse 1. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, make thee two trumpets of silver, of a whole piece shalt thou make them, that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly and for the journeying of the camps. When they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. If they blow but with one trumpet, then the princes, which are heads of the thousands of Israel, shall gather themselves unto thee. When ye blow an alarm, then the camps that lie in the east part shall go forward. When ye blow an alarm the second time, then the camps that lie on the south side shall take their journey. They shall blow an alarm for their journeys. But when the congregation is to be gathered together, ye shall blow, but ye shall not sound an alarm. The sons of Aaron the priest shall blow with the trumpets, and they shall be to you for an ordinance forever throughout your generation. If you go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresseth you, then ye shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, and ye shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and ye shall be saved from your enemies. Also in the day of your gladness, and in your solemn days, and in the beginnings of your months, ye shall blow with the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, that they may be to you for a memorial before your God. I am the Lord your God. God will add his own blessing to the reading of his precious truth for his name's sake. Let us all pray. Dear Lord, we'd ask you to bless us now as we turn to thy word. We pray, Lord, that you will illuminate the sacred page. No, God, again, we'd ask thee that through your word you will speak to our hearts. And, Lord, draw us closer to thyself. Lord, I would ask you to fill me afresh with thy spirit. Baptize me, Lord, with your power, that the word of God may go forth with might, with authority, with power, and with a thus saith the Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The silver trumpets are the gospel of God. The blowing of these trumpets that we've been reading about was, as it were, the voice of God to the people of Israel. It was God's way of speaking to the people of Israel. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. I want us to look at three things concerning the trumpets. First of all, I want us to look at the trumpets themselves, or if you like, the gospel. The trumpets or the gospel. Then I want us to look at the trumpeters, or the preachers of the gospel. And then we will look at the trumpeting, or the preaching of the gospel. First of all, the trumpets or the gospel. Blessed are they that know the joyful sign. The trumpets or the gospel. I want you to notice three things about the trumpets. First of all, their number. Their number. It says in verse 2, make thee two trumpets of silver. Make thee two trumpets of silver. These two trumpets remind us of the Old and New Testament. Make thee two trumpets of silver. And just as God spoke to the children of Israel through the blowing of the trumpets, then God, down through the ages, speaks to his people through the word of God. The Old and the New Testament, through which God has been pleased to speak to his people, and by which his call is still heard. The Old and the New Testament. Make thee two trumpets, the number. Then I want you to notice the nature of the trumpets. The nature of the trumpets. It says, make thee two trumpets of silver. Now, there was a special reason that these trumpets should be made of silver. I understand that silver is a metal that has, when made into a musical instrument, a very sweet sound. And so the trumpets were to be made of silver so that they would give a sweet sound. And then, not only that, but silver is a precious metal. And so these trumpets were precious and sweet-toned. They were precious and sweet-toned. And you know, the best of other books are but copper and tin in comparison to the Bible. The Word of God is precious and sweet-toned. The Word of God is precious and sweet to the believer. The Word of God is precious and sweet to the unbeliever, because in the Word of God we can find the way of salvation. The word of God is precious and sweet to those who are sick. The word of God is precious and sweet to those who have cares and who have troubles. The word of God, precious and sweet to all of us. Oh, how often as we journey through life, we find comfort and consolation through God's word. And so as we think of the trumpets, we think of how precious and how sweet the word of God is. Sweet. The unity. Make them of one piece. The word of God. The old, the New Testament. God breathing through it. From Genesis to Revelation. That's why we're saved this morning. We're saved through the word of God and through the mighty Spirit of God. God speaking to us through his word, through his Spirit, bringing us to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how precious and how sweet the word of God is to each one of us. Now I want us, having looked at the trumpets or the gospel or the word of God, I want us to look at the trumpeters or the preachers of the gospel. The sons of Aaron shall blow the trumpets. If you look at verse 8, chapter 10, verse 8, it says, the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow with the trumpets, and they shall be to you for an ordinance forever throughout your generation. The sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow the trumpets. And so we're going to look at the trumpeters or the preachers of the gospel. The first thing I want you to notice about the trumpeters, and indeed it's got to be the same about the preachers of the gospel, I want you to turn to chapter 8 and to look at verse 6. And you will see that the trumpeters were called. The trumpeters were called. It says, take the Levites from among the children of Israel. The trumpeters were called. And you know, those who preach the gospel are called of God to preach it. Those who proclaim the truth of God are the chosen of the Master. Did he not say, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you might go forth and bring forth fruit? Romans 10 and 15, it says this. It says, how shall they preach except they be sent? How shall they preach except they be sent? And these trumpeters, we discover, were called. Those of us who proclaim the truth of God, those of us who are saved, we are the called, the chosen of God. I want you to notice something else about them. I want you to notice that they were not only called, but they were cleansed. Look at chapter 8, verse 7. It says, "And thus shalt thou do unto them to cleanse them, sprinkle water of purifying upon them, and let them shave all their flesh, and let them wash their clothes, and so make themselves clean." The trumpeters were called, the trumpeters were cleansed. Do you know, my friends, they that bear the vessels of the Lord must be clean. They were called. They were cleansed. And how important it is that each one of us know day by day, know moment by moment, the cleansing that the blood of Christ doth impart. You know, the Word of God says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But my friends, if there's no confession, I want you to listen. If there's no confession, there's no forgiveness. And if there's no forgiveness, there's no cleansing. And we're living in our sins. But thank God for that day by day experience that can be ours in Christ when the blood is applied to our hearts. When we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, this is the place where God wants His children to be. He wants us to be those not only who are called of Him, but He wants us to be those who are cleansed and know day by day the cleansing that the blood doth impart. In other words, believer in Christ, we need to have an up-to-date experience with our God if we're going to do service for Him. They must be clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. And I want you to notice something else. I want you to notice not only were they called and cleansed, but they were consecrated. Look at chapter 8 and verse 10. "And thou shalt bring the Levites before the Lord, and the children of Israel shall put their hands upon the Levites." They were called, they were cleansed, they were consecrated. You know, His choosing us should be followed by a complete surrender of ourselves to Him. His choosing us should be followed by a complete surrender of ourselves to Him. Paul could say, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." And he went on to say this, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, that ye might know and prove that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." This is the place where God wants His children. The place of consecration. The place of a full surrender. the place where they're prepared to lay their all on the altar for God. My Christian friend, you're contemplating having a mission in August. God's going to bless in that mission. God's going to move by His Spirit in that mission. Then He's looking for a people who are cleansed and consecrated and surrendered to Him. Is He going to find that people in this church? Are you prepared to present your body this morning as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God? A living sacrifice. Something that's alive. Something that's working and prepared to do business for God. Present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, clean and pure, acceptable unto God. Then goes on to say, which is your reasonable service. Listen, my Christian friends, this morning it's only but reasonable that we should give ourselves unreservedly to God in the light of Calvary, realizing all that God has done for us through Christ. Surely it's but a reasonable service for us to give ourselves unreservedly to Him. Be not conformed to this world. Too many of God's people are conformed to this world today. We've been caught up in the materialistic age, and it has left us impotent as far as the work of God's concerned. If you're having a mission, my Christian friends, I want you to come to this place, the place of a full surrender, the place where you lay your all on the altar for God, where God can bless you, and where God can use you, and where God can do exploits in this tent campaign. God can do, but God's people need to be willing to go through with God. Full surrender. Not only do we see them called, not only do we see them cleansed, not only do we see them consecrated, but we see them commissioned. Chapter 8 and verse 15. And after that shall the Levites go in to do service of the tabernacle of the congregation. We see them commissioned. And you know what the Lord has said to us, don't you? He says to you, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. This is the Great Commission. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. I didn't know until this morning that you were having a campaign. But if we're going to have a campaign, Christians, let us go all out for God. Let us see what God can really do when God's people are fully surrendered to Him. Let us fulfill His great commission. Let us go into all the world and preach the gospel. Let us make every effort in August to win souls for Christ and to get the unsaved in under the sign of the Word of God. And I tell you, if you're prepared to do that, God will bless you. God will use you in the extension of His great kingdom. Called, cleansed, consecrated, and then commissioned. the trumpeters or the preaching of the gospel. Now we're going to look at the trumpeting or the preaching of the gospel. The trumpeting or the preaching of the gospel. You know, how, no matter how good the trumpet may be, it takes the breath of a living man to sound it. No matter how good the trumpet may be, it takes the breath of a living man to sound it. The preaching of the gospel in the power of the Holy Ghost is the voice and call of God to those who hear it. The preaching of the gospel in the power of the Holy Ghost is the voice and call of God to those who hear it. You know, my friends, it is possible to have a great noise and to make a great show and for no voice or message from heaven to be heard. You could have this campaign, this tent campaign. You could have a great and a mighty show, and you could have plenty of noise. But it takes the Holy Ghost. It takes the power of God. God is looking for a people, not only in this church, but throughout Ulster today, who are filled with the Holy Ghost, that the word of God may go forth with might and with authority and with power and with a thus saith the Lord. Yes, it's possible to have a great campaign, plenty of noise, but yet no voice, no message from heaven to be heard. The blowing of these silver trumpets had various degrees of significance, and through them we hear the following calls. And I want you to give heed and to pay attention. First of all, there was the call of atonement. Ye shall blow with the trumpets over the sacrifice. I want you to turn to the chapter we read together, and I want us to look at verse 10. It's chapter 10 and verse 10. Ye shall blow with the trumpets over the sacrifices. Also in the day of your gladness and in your solemn days and in the beginnings of your month, ye shall blow with the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, and they may be to you for a memorial before your God. I am the Lord your God. How important this is. The preaching that is not connected with the atoning sacrifice of Christ is not the preaching that he bids. We've got to preach Christ and him crucified. You know, it is vain to preach the gospel apart from the reconciling blood of the Lamb. The trumpets were to be blown over the sacrifices. How important it is that we preach Christ and him crucified. Thank God this morning we belong to a church that believes in preaching Christ and Christ crucified. God can only bless a people that are prepared to preach Christ and preach Christ crucified. The blood of Christ. How important it is that that blood needs to be applied to our own hearts. How important it is that we preach Christ and preach Christ crucified. I believe God will honor that message, and God will only honor that message. If we preach anything else, then let's be accursed. May God help us at all times to preach Christ and Him crucified. And I'm sure that's what will be preached in this tent campaign. So if you're prepared to prepare yourselves and preach Christ and Him crucified, then you will see the signs following the preaching of the gospel. Then there was the call to invitation. It says, when you shall brew with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves at the door. Verse 3 of chapter 10. And when they shall brew with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Thus the trumpet call invites to the door of the tabernacle. But the gospel call invites all to Him who is the door. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. The invitation. I am the door. Dear friends, we've got to go out day by day with the invitation. We've got to invite men and women to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I believe that we have lost our burden for souls. I believe as a church we've lost the concern that we once had for men and women that are still in their sin. Now, I've been in this church, the Free Church, from the very beginning. And I believe in the earlier days we had a greater burden and a greater concern for those that perish. Oh, may God give us that concern again. May God give us a burden in these days for those that are lost. You know, as I said earlier, we're living in a materialistic age. We're caught up in this age. We haven't the time for God that we ought to have. We haven't the time for souls that we ought to have. We ought to be those who are day by day putting forward the invitation, inviting men to come to Him who is the door. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. May God really burden us for souls in these days. May God give us a vision of a world that's outside, perishing, dying in their sin, multitudes dying without Christ. May God give us a burden as a church for lost, perishing souls. Then there was the call to progress. It says, when you blew an alarm, then the camps shall go forward. Verse 5, when you blow an alarm, then the camps that lie on the east part shall go forward. A call to progress. The call of the gospel is not only a call to salvation, but it's a call to those who are in Christ to go on and to go through with God. Paul could say, I press on towards the mark, towards that high calling of God. Believers in Christ, can we say that this morning? Can we say that we're going on and going through with God? This is the place where God wants us. God wants us to come to the place where we'll let nothing stand on our way, but we'll go on and go through with God and we'll progress in our Christian life and in our Christian experience. And I believe if many of us would be honest this morning, we would confess that there has been a halting and that we haven't been going on with God as we ought to be. And we haven't been going through with God as we ought to be. But my friends, you have a great responsibility. If you're having a campaign, I want you to realize that you're having a great responsibility. There's a great burden upon your shoulders. And there's a call from God to you this morning to go on and go through with God, irrespective of what the price will be. I press on towards the mark, towards the high calling of God. Let nothing hinder, let nothing hold back, but let's pay the price. Go on and go through with Him. Then last of all, I want you to notice there was a call to conflict. If you go to war, you shall blow an alarm and you shall be saved from your enemies. Verse 9. And if you go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresseth you, then ye shall blow an alarm and with the trumpets, and ye shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and ye shall be saved from your enemies. Call to conflict. You know, the Christian life is not meant to be a bed of roses. And the closer you're living to God, and the more you're going through for God, the more you realize this. You realize that you've been called to conflict. You've been called to do battle for the Lord. If you're a Free Presbyterian in the true sense of the word, then you'll realize it all the more. Call to conflict, a call to battle. I want you to look at verses 10 to 18 of Ephesians chapter 6, if you will. Turn your Bibles over to Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to look at verses 10 to 18. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." A call to conflict. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I tell you, if you're going to do service for God, you'll have to stand against the wiles of the devil. If this is going to be a mighty campaign for the Lord, my friend, you're going to have to stand up and be counted. And you're going to have to stand against the wiles of the devil. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Here's a picture of the enemy. Do you know the enemy will oppose the tent campaign? The enemy will oppose souls being saved. And the enemy is continually opposing this church because of the stand that we've taken down through the years. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. If it was, the fight would be easy. The war could be over. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. God's people have been called to conflict. My friends, we need to be strong in the Lord. We need to put on the whole armor of God. "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day." And we live in the evil day. "And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Call to conflict. God is looking for a people that are cleansed, a people that are consecrated, a people that are commissioned, a people that will put on the whole armor of God, a people that will stand in this day against all evil. Are you amongst this people?